What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Thursday, and you know what that means on the Blogging the Boys podcast network, powered by our friends at SB Nation. It's time for another episode of Riled Up on the Cowboys, featuring my man, Tom Ryle, at Tom Ryle BTB on Twitter, and myself, Roy White, at RW3. You can follow us both, interact with the show, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast and get your fill of all the Blogging the Boys podcast going down this week. And again, Tom, a couple weeks out of training camp, and we actually finally got some news about that. Dates, specifically, for when the Cowboys will be out in California, and it looks like things are going to kick off with a morning practice on Thursday, July 22nd. It is a training camp that will be open to the public again, so another return to normalcy, although there are going to be several aspects of this that still are not the norm for what we would expect from training camp. You're going to be out there for a couple of days. So first, give me your impressions. How has the planning come now that you've finally gotten the dates for when things will be kicking off? And what are your plans in terms of covering the team and America's team out there?
Well, I'm real excited about this. This is literally one of those bucket list things where I finally have had things come together and, you know, due to some stuff in my life that have now made it where I am not kept from going out there. And so I'm planning to be there, I believe, the 31st of August through the 2nd or 3rd of July for actual attendance.
31st of July through the 2nd or 3rd of August, I think you meant there, but I'm with you.
That's quite likely. I will note that we're actually recording very early in the morning rather than the previous night, and I may be awake. That doesn't mean I'm conscious right now. So, it's going to be July through August. I'll be there, and I've already spoken with Dan Rogers, who a lot of people will know from Blogging the Boys, and Rabble Rouser, who also is an old Blogging the Boys alum, and we're planning on being, that's just a couple of people I plan to meet up with out there, and it's going to be fun to actually get there and see the practices, kind of get a feel, hopefully, for where people are really lining up. Especially on defense, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, because it's something that you can actually, you can't pick up from coverage sometimes because people might not be looking at the same thing. But now, assuming they don't run the whole camp in blank jerseys, which I would not put it past Mike McCarthy to pull something weird like that, like he did with his one practice last year. I think that I'll get a chance for trying to piece together some bits of the puzzle. Hopefully I'll be able to get a little content. We'll have to figure out what we need to do about recording an episode that week.
Forget about that. I think one of the parts that will be, you know, interesting to see how guys like yourself are going to manage it is that the number of jerseys that will be different, not as many as most teams, but it's certainly no longer going to be as easy as, oh, he's in the mid 70s, he must be an offensive or defensive lineman, he's in the teens, he must be a wide receiver. No, you're going to see a linebacker around those numbers. You're going to see a wide receiver with kicking numbers out there. You're going to see a couple of other items that, you know, have to take some getting used to. So I'm very excited about that. I did want to talk, though, about how I actually think this is still going to be a little bit different. Now, returning to the norm, back out in Oxnard, open to fans. Media is going to be out there as well, so we'll get tons of coverage. And Blogging the Boys will have you covered from wall to wall of the Cowboys training camp. But there's going to be an aspect of it that I think is going to come into play and that fans are going to be disappointed about. And that is the fact that the availability and access to players and coaches that is typically had after these practices. And for those that have never been out there, never seen kind of how it works, the practice winds down. And as players walk back to the area where they ultimately head to the locker room, there is a time frame where media folks, right? Announcers, broadcasters, print folks have an opportunity to step out onto the field and grab an individual they would like to speak with, whether it be a player, a rookie, a veteran, a coach, you know, a personnel guy, just someone to get some insight from about what they saw that day. Unfortunately, that does not sound like that's going to be the way that it goes this year. Now, there will still be in-person interviews and there will still be players answering questions after practice, but in a more formal setting, when they are surrounded by multiple microphones, multiple media members, right? It is much more difficult to get these guys to be candid about what is actually happening when they're under the pressure of the lights and knowing that they're speaking to a broad audience. It was very easy when we were in morning radio to get a guy to kind of loosen his guard by asking him some fun, goofy questions, questions of which really would not be respectable questions to be asked at a press conference featuring 10, 20, 30 different media members because everybody wants to get in their questions. But in those one-on-one opportunities, if you could get a guy's guard down, you could get some really insightful and interesting information. And I fear, again, this may be me projecting here, but I fear that that opportunity is not going to be as readily available this offseason. And we are going to have to rely on, while, you know, I think you mentioned it, what people see with their eyes is going to be very important. And how we see players lining up is going to give us some insight. But I wonder if we're going to be lacking in the areas of nuance, in the areas of detail that might have been provided in years past. Not to mention the fact that it's an entirely different regime. And we have not seen a different regime operate out at Oxnard for training camp in over a decade, Tom.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There are a lot of things that I think I'm going to have to actually get out there and get into it before I even realize what are the things that can be learned and stuff. Now, you know, I'm not a credentialed member of the media, so I'm not going to have a shot at getting directly to the players and coaches, but
you need to reach out to old Joe Trahan and see about that. I might be able to hook you up.
Well, okay. If you were to get me a credential, I will have to have your child. But the other thing that I'm really looking forward to is the informal intelligence gathering that happens after practices, as in there's a couple of the, you know, major media figures, you know, names that everybody knows, that it's kind of well known that if you go out and buy them a couple of drinks, you start finding out a whole lot of stuff that isn't really out there in the general thing that they can, you know, clue you in on some inside stuff. And it's not just about what's happening right now. You find out some fascinating things about the past and some of the media legends in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of stuff. I don't know how much I'll be able to incorporate into either the pod or my writing, but it's an experience I've always wanted to have. And, you know, I hope it'll make things a little bit richer. You know, on the serious side, this is going to be the first time we've seen Mike McCarthy out there. Of course, we've got Dan Quinn, who's entirely new to the Cowboys. So a lot of stuff. It's going to be a camp where I think I personally will be focused a lot more on what's going on with the defense, because I think I know what's going on with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. And, you know, as long as everybody's healthy out there, you know, I know what they've got with the offensive line. So I want to see what's happening because the defense is just like, I don't know. And the other thing that's interesting is that it sounds like the Cowboys are pretty much flirting with 100% vaccination. And right now the NFL is basically doing everything it can short of telling people they will not get paid to get the holdouts to get vaccinated. You know, there's a couple of well-known names. I believe Sam Darnold is one who are very vaccine hesitant.
Yeah.
And there's a completely different set of rules for people that are vaccinated and people that aren't. You know, literally in the dining facilities for the teams, the non-vaccinated people have to sit over in a little leper colony area, you know, socially distanced stuff.
It's funny. I mean, the players haven't yet been put into a place where, hey, you will not be able to do your job effectively if you don't get vaccinated. But the coaches damn sure have. The assistant coaches are essentially required to get vaccinated. Otherwise, they will not be allowed to have in-person communication. They will not be able to have hands-on teaching and training with the players that they're working with. And they won't be allowed to work in the same room with them in regards to film study. So yeah, from a coaching perspective, right, it's for the players, it's not yet to the point of, hey, you're not going to be able to survive in this job. Although for every guy that's on the back end of the roster, right, you do think that becomes an easier conversation, right? If you're number 40 through 75 or 80, you've probably been vaccinated already. And if you haven't, it's a terrible decision on your part from a job security standpoint. Yeah. But I absolutely agree. I think what they're doing is extremely positive, and hopefully it leads to more players being vaccinated, because honestly, and I think Tom Brady might have said it, or someone in the NFL made this point, that it is essentially a competitive advantage to have your team vaccinated, because you don't run the risk of, and we're seeing it in another sport as we speak, right? Chris Paul in the NBA playoffs may not be able to go and is out indefinitely because he came down with COVID. And is anybody in their right mind of the opinion that Chris Paul didn't have an opportunity to get the COVID vaccine? He absolutely did. And if he winds up costing his team an opportunity to play in the most important games of some of their lives, that is one that I think will be tough to forgive, as great as he has been. And so I could see that same type of scenario playing over to the NFL side of things. Dak, Zeke, I can't imagine those guys have foregone the opportunity to get vaccinated just because of how entirely focused they seem to be on what the ultimate goal here is here in Dallas, and that's winning another Super Bowl.
Yep.
So
we're going to see how things get started on that campaign. So
Cowboys training camp going to be out in Oxnard. If you're able to get out there and, you know, want to say hi to our boy Tom, you now know the dates that he will be out there. Make sure you hit him up on Twitter and get involved in that. Still a couple of months away, though, so we've got plenty of time to inspect Cowboys' social media accounts, see what they're up to in this final week before buildup. I would imagine, Tom, we get a couple shots or videos from out at the compound, out at the half court, if you will, Dak Prescott's backyard. I can't imagine we'll go 4 weeks without seeing some kind of work going on out there, even if the video is from like 2 months ago, right? Like, I think at this point, the expectation from fans is that, hey, we just need to see something and we'll all be excitable and cheery and ready to get there.
I want to see something from DeMarcus Lawrence working with Micah Parsons on his pass rush moves.
Okay. That's a perfect example of something, right?
That's supposed to be going on, yes.
Tight end you, right? Tight end you, pass rush you, all these different basically player-generated teaching tools. This is kind of the time of the year where these start to take place. So this could also be another aspect that as the years go on, this becomes the next media event during the dead time. Is that we all just cover what's going on at QB camp or pass rush camp or DE camp or DT camp or tight end camp, whatever you want to call it. So that'll be really fun. Tight end university coming up here in a couple of weeks with George Kittle and all those guys. I think Blake Jarwin is on that list. And I'm not
necessarily pretty sure Dalton Schultz is.
Okay, it was a Dalton. One of the two tight ends for sure was on the list, and we'll see if the other one makes it out. But again, that stuff we'll cover at some point. The other thing I wanted to cover, Tom, was actually, of course, another article that you put up on Blogging the Boys, getting the conversation started, right? And I think to pull the curtain back just a little bit, for those that don't know, when I was in media previously, when I was in morning radio previously, Blogging the Boys was the content creator. They were the topic starter for many of the Cowboys topics that we came to. And it's because of guys like Tom who put their minds to work to try to glean a different conversation, a conversation that hasn't been had to the nth degree this offseason. We could talk about Dak Prescott, you know, projections, and we will, right? We could talk about Ezekiel Elliott's weight, or we could talk about how he looks this offseason, and we will. But for guys like Tom, they take a look at this roster, they take a look at what the Cowboys have done, they take a look at the news that's going on at that time, and they bring you something fresh all the time. And in this case, of course, Tom taking a look at the defensive side of the Cowboys team. You think it's nearly impossible to project the starting defensive unit in 2021. Tell me why, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that, because I'm now going to challenge you on that exercise and see what you think of my starting 11 on that side of the ball.
Yeah. First off, it's kind of the opposite of the offense, because if everybody's healthy, we can rattle off. You should be able to rattle off the entire starting offense, with the possible caveat that they're saying that Dalton Schultz may overtake Blake Jarwin for the starting job, just because he was active last year and Jarwin's coming back. But the other 10 spots, you know who they want to have starting in every one of them. You know Dak, Zeke, Amari, Tyron. Well, you know, everybody, you know where they're expected to line up now that they've pretty much committed to Tyler Biadasz as the center, because he's getting basically all the first team snaps. So that's obviously the plan. Defense, not only are there a lot of jobs like in the linebacking core where there's some question about who really is going to be, Mike one versus Mike two. I'm not even sure where some of the players are actually going to be playing, as in what's their role. And we're going into a lot of new ideas with Dan Quinn's 3-4 plan, which I think is a good thing, because with the problems the Cowboys had on with stopping the run, I think a 3-4 alignment is kind of naturally better at slowing down the run and getting you into a second down situation that's more favorable for the defense rather than the offense. But, I don't know. And I'm not sure how they're going to look at it. Are they going to have, because if you look at who's out there for your first down when you want to make sure they don't run, then a couple of your main pass rushing elements may not be technically the starter, even though they're going to get more snaps and be more important. So it's an interesting thing, and I ran through it. So I want to compare notes, see what you came, and I'll kind of explain why I might differ from some things.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so I went from the standpoint of it is first down. It is first and 10, right? Because I agree with you. I understand, like, third and 9, it might bring an entirely different set. And it's funny, on that note, right? It seems like this is the evolution to the multiple defensive looks that I think honestly became popularized in terms of media buzzwords, maybe like 2 years ago in the offseason for the Cowboys, right? Do you remember that offseason where the conversation was about how multiple we were going to be and how, you know, we were really going to be able to match up strength for strength against other teams? The problem was when we tried to do that, we were always matching up a weakness to their strength. And it seemed like any way we turned, we were always matching up a weaker part to a strength. So when I look on the defensive line, right, I'll start in the position that I think is the one sure thing. That's DeMarcus Lawrence. There's no doubt that DeMarcus Lawrence is going to find his way onto the starting lineup. And I guess on first down too, as you mentioned, because it's a 3-4, I might have Brent Urban in a position that's off tackle to potentially like help out with the run, right? Now, is he a down lineman? I consider him to be. I don't consider him to be a pass rushing specialist. He's a run stopper. He's certainly not a linebacker, but in this scenario, right, he's kind of listed as one. So I suppose I would start with my outside pass rushers as DeMarcus and Randy. I would have Urban involved. And then, you know, I need a three tech. And in that case, or a one tech rather, and that's either Tristan Hill, Neville Gallimore. I give the nod to Gallimore at this moment because he's healthy, but Tristan Hill has, I guess, just as good of an opportunity to take that role. How do you see the starting four down linemen, I guess, if you will, in this position kind of beginning things? And whether or not the fourth one is down or not is kind of irrelevant, but I think along that defensive wall, you'll see four along the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that was where I really ran into, I guess, maybe my first bit of confusion, because I was looking at the edge rusher. I don't know that Randy Gregory is going to be out there on first down. I actually think he won't be. I think they're looking at him as soon as they get to a passing down, he comes out. But that way, by not putting him out there when they're worried about having the run defense really on the lookout, they keep Gregory fresher. And that was where a interesting name came up, and looking through, it was Chauncey Golston, because coming out of college, everything was talking about him being an edge or designated pass rusher. Yet apparently he was seen being lined up in a 3-4 defensive end position, which is, you know, in the middle, you know, one of the three guys that are lined up against the offensive line to take on blockers and stop, you know, get the holes clogged up, which, you know, the glory goes to the linebackers, because the idea is that the defensive line ties up the offensive lineman, and then the linebackers go through and actually tackle the running back. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be. I had talked some time back about the fact that Quentin Bohanna may be a first down specialist if he's ready to go, because he's like 330 pounds. He's a real nose tackle, was very hard to move in college when they tried to block him. And, you know, I could see him technically being a starter at some point in the season, even though he's really not, because he's only going to be out there for maybe 30-35% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's very hard to sort out. And yeah, that interior of the defensive line is mix and match. I'm not sure who the backups are going to be for Gregory and Lawrence in the pass rushing. And I didn't even hear you mention Osa Odighizuwa.
Yeah, there's two I didn't mention, right? Osa and Carlos Watkins, who they signed to be an interior pass rusher. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certainly names, right, and variables. And I guess that's why it speaks to why that perhaps was a very good title of your article. Because even as I stand here, I guess under the right circumstances, I could see my projection being the one that pans out, but under slightly different circumstances, yeah, it could go a lot of different ways. And that that in and of itself is exciting for Cowboys fans, I think. They'll probably find a way as well. I know I mentioned Randy and Lawrence, and then, you know, perhaps Gallimore in the middle, and then Brett Urban in there as well in the mix from a run-stopping perspective. But that's where you could mix in Bohanna and still keep Gregory on the field, right, as a designated pass rusher on the outside. That's where you can mix in Watkins, or you can mix in Osa to, add those guys into the mix and into the fold on a consistent basis. And maybe more than anything, right, on the offensive side, we want to see the weapons get 90% of the snaps. Yeah. On the defensive side, they probably are best served by keeping a rotating cast of characters and keeping guys fresh outside of, you know, the DeMarcus Lawrences of the world. And maybe one linebacker that we're going to get to if he proves to be the real deal.
And you were talking about when people are rotating out. I think Tristan Hill's a guy that could get maybe 60% of the snaps, but on passing downs, because I think he's better trying to pressure and get to the quarterback and make him a little uncomfortable than he is digging in and stopping the run. So, yeah, who comes in, who goes out, and at the moment, it's hard to say. If I was forced to make a bet on it, I'd say that Carlos Watkins probably is in one of the shakiest positions as far as sticking with the team. So now, having said that, you can probably put it in Sharpie that he's going to wind up making the team, because I don't think he's going to. So, we have so much to know. And as I said, I'm not sure they've even got exactly the position designations down, and I'm not sure that's going to be as important as it used to be. We may actually see a lot more people who are like Tyrone Crawford was, where sometimes he's a defensive end, sometimes he was a defensive tackle, sometimes he's at the five, he might be at the three, he might kick out and be a DPR. And there's several players I think they could do some of that with, so it's going to be fun.
Well, let's move then a step back on the defensive side of the ball. We'll take a look at the linebacking positions. I guess I've come around on it, and I think a lot of it is, the media buzz around it. But some of it is what some of his teammates are saying as well. Micah Parsons appears to be the real deal from a leadership standpoint, appears to be the type of guy that wants to take on that leadership role. And I think if he steps into that early in training camp, he probably does have the inside track to start at the beginning of the season. So I think Micah Parsons is kind of in the driver's seat right now, in control of his own destiny, to allow himself to be starting in week one.
Yeah. And once again, it kind of depends on how they decide to use him. You were talking about who lines up as the guy opposite DeMarcus Lawrence, where you're going to have DeMarcus Lawrence, you're going to have three interior defensive linemen, and another guy who's in kind of the outside linebacker or the designated pass rusher position. That's how we could see Micah Parsons get a start right off the bat, is that he's very good in apparently all phases of the game. He's a linebacker who's the guy you want making contact with the running back. So maybe he lines up with Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, or with one of those two and Keanu Neal. And then, wait a minute, Keanu Neal might line up in that on rushing down. So,
yeah. That was the first team pairing at OTAs.
Yeah. And then, and then other times they seem to be running Smith and Vander Esch with the ones. So that's going to just have to sort out how they want to do it. And that's one where watching who's out there in the 11-on-11s at training camp will probably be interesting. And that's why I'm going to try to sidle up to some people that have been out there and done it before, because I'm not too sure I can figure it all out by myself. So I'm just going to be leaning over their shoulder and cribbing off of their notes. So
if I asked you what you were hoping for, what would you say? Because for me, I think my hope is that Micah Parsons fleshes himself out as the number one linebacker of the group, and that Leighton Vander Esch finds some consistency. We heard the quote that he added some body armor this offseason. I assume that just means strength and that he didn't strap up a bunch of phone books to his body like Cheeseburger Mike. But either way, I think for me, I'm hoping Micah Parsons and Leighton Vander Esch are the one and the two from the linebacker position. And really, I'm not looking at starting three linebackers to start the season. I think I'm good with two. I'll take my pass rushers, and then I'll get my five secondary players out there that we'll go over here in a bit.
Yeah, I don't think I would disagree with that. I'm kind of pulling for Vander Esch to turn around and give the team reason to at least consider doing an extension with him. Since they didn't take his fifth-year option, they would have to have an extension, which can be then manipulated to take advantage of the increasing cap so they can, you know, maybe pay him a little bit more. But, and not that I'm saying it's a good idea to pay off all linebackers, but the Cowboys are going to do that whether we want them to or not. So that's just the way of the world.
I'm not getting too carried away with, like, dreaming. I mean, if Leighton Vander Esch plays well, then he earns himself another contract, and that's great, right? That rising tide here or somewhere else. Yes, but I'll just take him settling into a position and a type of play that he played a couple years ago that we haven't seen. Yeah. Since he's really been dinged up considerably the last several seasons.
Yeah, and even though I think we're down, it's fairly clear there are five leaders for the linebacker, the four guys we just mentioned, and Jabril Cox. Cox is – he was quiet. He looks to be probably number five. Yeah. They're not going to carry less than five. You know that. They have to have some linebackers. That whole idea of a designated pass rusher, because Micah Parsons is a guy that's getting used in that role some, and it would seem that Keanu Neal could do that. Well, Jalen Smith could do that. Leighton Vander Esch. So I think there are times that your eyes are telling you there's three linebackers out there, but it's really two guys that are playing linebacker. And one of the guys from the linebacker room is lining up as a pass rusher. And how does that affect you? You know, that's where you're talking about that flexibility. All of a sudden, these position definitions are a lot more fluid than we're used to seeing.
Yeah. And again, it's going to be really fun seeing number nine with his hand in the ground.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Attempting to rush the passer. That'll be very interesting to see. So let's move on into the secondary then. One spot I assume is spoken for, and I might say the other is spoken for just based on contract alone, but it's not really a given that Anthony Brown is going to secure that second cornerback spot. I obviously think Diggs, I think you're with me, Diggs is locking up one of those spots.
Yep.
So
there were three players that I felt like you can call them starters.
Yes,
for sure. And that was Lawrence, Diggs, and I believe Donovan Wilson, although he's probably less firm, but I just really don't see him going anywhere. He'll be your box safety starter.
Consistency with, you know, the playbook, the fact that there's not really any other options that wasn't just brought off the street here in, you know, in the last season or drafted as a potential option. He does seem to have, I would say, yes, that I would rank those 1, 2, 3 in terms of solidifying their position. So we'll take Donovan Wilson out of it again. That leaves us the second and third cornerback positions and that free safety spot. Is KZ the favorite to win that free safety spot right out of camp?
I think he's definitely the desire. I think Dan Quinn really wants him to be a starting free safety, and they don't have anybody ready yet to take.
Is Reggie Robinson just a forgotten man because he was drafted by the old regime? Like, is there a chance that he doesn't even make this team because the coach that might have valued him is no longer there. And even that coach who valued him didn't see enough value in him to play him more than a couple of snaps in 2020?
Well, yeah, he's just a numbers game, but he's definitely going to be fighting to make a roster spot, and he shouldn't be overlooked because even if he wasn't getting snaps, he was getting exposure. He was working with his teammates and with a new defensive coordinator that may be less important than it could have been. Still, there is a natural inclination to prefer the guys that you've already been through a campaign with. And so it would be interesting, you know, to see how Mike McCarthy's view on him would affect Dan Quinn, because I think Quinn's going to be calling the shots on who is in and who is out. But the head coach gets to make some input and kind of express some of his preferences. And it's really interesting. Further muddying thing up is that Kelvin Joseph missed 10 days with COVID. You remember that? I don't think he didn't have it, but he had to quarantine, which says to me, well, he wasn't vaccinated. And that's back into that thing. Here's a reason why you better get vaccinated, because, okay, maybe he didn't get it, maybe he'll be fine, but all of a sudden, this other guy named Nashon Wright got to take those snaps and shine. And yeah, Wright was one of the standouts. Thank you, because when they called his name on draft night, I literally wrote, what in the world are they doing?
You and everybody else.
Yeah, and now, from everything that's happened, people are going, oh, because he's apparently looked very good out there. Of course, he's, I think, 6'4". He's a long and athletic corner who right now I would say is probably Anthony Brown's chief challenger to be the other cornerback opposite of Trayvon Diggs. And then, you know, you've also got Jordan Lewis is the other, the 12th defensive starter as a slot corner. But Anthony Brown could really be in the mix for that if he's not the guy that starts at the regular corner. Because, you know, this is a real flexible thing. And there's people out there that are whispering Maurice Kennedy is still with this team. And he sat out with COVID last year, and look for him to be making some noise too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm against Maurice Kennedy, but if Maurice Kennedy is making a lot of noise, then that, to me, makes me nervous about what the rest of the unit is producing. I think as I'm looking at the starters at this point, I would say Diggs, obviously Wilson, KZ would be the front man to fill out that other safety spot. And then I think it is probably Brown and Lewis for me right now. Now, that's not to say that Kelvin Joseph can't, you know, fight his way into the conversation, right? But even Diggs, you know, wasn't just right from the jump taking over this spot a season ago. And so I think we need to keep in mind that cornerback as a position, right, it does take a little bit more development. And there aren't a ton of guys that come in and light up the league in their rookie season. They just don't, because there are things that they have not seen, levels to this league that they have not seen and they have not been exposed to. And offensive coordinators know that. And they go out of their way to target these guys to take advantage of that stuff. And defensive coordinators know that as well. And so they sometimes take a little slower approach to bring these guys along so they don't overexpose themselves. And I think that might be the case of what happens with Kelvin Joseph. Not saying he's not the second best cornerback in the room, but to start the season, I don't think he'll be in that conversation.
Yeah, and it's also what I think they're going to want to do with Wright, is they're not going to want to throw him right into the fire, even if he just shines in training camp.
Yeah.
I still think if – that is one place where I would fall back on a bit of conservatism. And yeah, Brown's going to be my starter week one. That doesn't mean he's going to be the starter week eight. But let's go out there and wait, get these rookies a chance to get their feet wet with a few snaps later in the game before we start throwing them out there to start. Having so many, you know, having eight draftees on the defensive side of the ball also is just a complicating factor because you can't automatically throw any rookie out there. Micah Parsons is showing every sign of being up to the task. He's the only one of the rookies that I feel confident saying that about right now. And, you know, he may still have some growing pains, but I'm feeling really good about his shot. But the other guys, you've got to look at development and bringing along. And where are they at the end of camp versus the start of camp? How soon do you want to start putting them out there? Are you going to let them get some, get some stripes on their sleeves playing special teams and then start gradually working them in? Are they maybe going to be looked at more for the second year? There's one or two of these guys that may be a C.J. Goodwin type. They just may be a career special teams resource that only gets used if they have some injuries down the road and just have to start throwing some more people out there on the field. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a nice career in the NFL. But I just look at this, and it just struck me so much that I could sit down, write down 10 names on offense with an either or at tight end and done. And there's no thinking about it. This stuff, you just sit there and you're going, man, if they did this, but they did that, and then this happened on the other.
Well, let me just say, the fact that there's so many questions on this side of the ball, though, it does make one aspect of, you know, this buildup to the regular season extremely intriguing to me, and it's not one that I would have paid that much attention to in the past, and that is the preseason games.
Oh, yes.
Yes. These offensive teams, right, even if you have offensive rookies, right, CeeDee Lamb a season ago, had they played in the preseason, he probably wouldn't have seen more than a series or two to begin with because you can serve those guys. But on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of these kids are going to get 2 3/4 worth of run in the preseason, and that is going to be invaluable, right? That's going to be unbelievably of a benefit in terms of a step up from what guys have this season to help them prepare for week one, as opposed to what guys were dealing with a season ago. So, you know, for the first time, maybe I am actually extremely excited about what we are going to learn and garner from the preseason.
Oh, let me give you a preseason starting lineup. Not necessarily for the Hall of Fame game, because that is such a weird thing. They are so cautious about that stuff. But just look at the first real preseason game and imagine that your starting defensive lineup is going to be Bradley Anae on one end. You've got Chauncey Golden lined up on the opposite side. Your three guys in the middle are going to be Odigizua, Quentin Bohanna, and you're probably going to have Tristan Hill out there because, you know, he's coming off an injury and needs to get some work in. You line up Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox as your two linebackers, and then you're going to roll out I wouldn't put KZ out there, but you're going to put Kelvin Joseph. You're going to have Nashon Wright lined up out there.
Got to get Diggs out there.
Huh?
You got to get Diggs out there early, I think.
No, you don't want Diggs out there. You're going to protect him. He's an established starter. I'm talking preseason.
Oh, I know. I know you are. I want to see him a little bit. I know, and I understand the risk. I want to see him a little bit. Because Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis, you know what you got with those guys. Yeah.
But you're gonna see that's when you'll probably see Reggie Robinson on the field. You're gonna see Israel Mukuamu. Boy, I have trouble pronouncing his name. You're gonna see him find out. We're gonna find out how the transition to safety is gonna go for him. Yeah, you could see a lineup of all these rookies and a few second year guys that didn't get much action or whatever, with Tristan Hill as the only third year guy that you really want to look at. And yet, to me, that's going to be riveting to see if they can put something together to start showing what they've got. So, yeah, preseason this year is a lot more interesting than it has been in a long, long time.
And you know, here at Blogging the Boys, we will continue to keep you posted on everything that's going down from training camp to the preseason and into the regular season. This will be your one-stop shop. Make sure you check out all the great podcasts here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. We, of course, are Riled Up. My man, Tom Ryle, at Tom Ryle BTB, and myself, Roy White, at RW3. You can find us both on Twitter and social media. I encourage you to reach out and tell a friend about the podcast. Maybe get them involved as well as we get you rolling towards training camp. So July 22nd, training camp officially gets underway. Our man Tom will be out there a little bit later in the month. If you'd like to go say hi to him, make sure you make plans to do so. Otherwise, we will catch you guys next Thursday with another episode of Riled Up, brought to you by bloggingtheboys.com and our friends at SB Nation. See ya.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.